Myerstown Church of the Brethren on this Sunday, May 17th. It's good to have you with us this morning, and just want to share a few announcements with you before we come into worship. Reminder that our Monday evening Bible study is meeting this coming Monday, tomorrow at 7 o'clock. If you haven't been with us, you're welcome to join us. Check out the bulletin email or the midweek email that has some connection information for that. Also, the executive committee will be meeting on Tuesday evening at 6:30 here in the sanctuary. Just an addition to your prayer list, Gwen Boltz, who is a member of the Lebanon Church of the Brethren, has been diagnosed with cancer. We want to keep Gwen in our prayers. Thank Weston Fuchs for coming and reading scripture for us this morning, and Weston's going to lead us into worship with 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11.
Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. But let none of your suffering as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or even as a mischief maker. Yet if any of you suffers as a Christian, do not consider it a disgrace, but glorify God because you bear this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. If it begins with us, that will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God. And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? Therefore, let those suffering in accordance with God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator while continuing to do good. And this is Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and for those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?"
Message for the children this morning, and if you're not watching on the video right now, you might want to pause it and gather the children around so they can be part of this message. How many of you like macaroni and cheese? Well, my six-year-old granddaughter loves macaroni and cheese. The problem is she only likes one kind of macaroni and cheese, the kind that comes in the box. But when we make macaroni and cheese at home, we put a lot of macaroni in the pot and then put lots of cheese in it and some cream and milk, and it comes out juicy and moist and thick, and it's just so good. But she doesn't like that kind. She likes the kind that comes out of the box. Well, macaroni and cheese is kind of a comfort food. The kind of food that you like that just makes you feel good when you eat it, like mashed potatoes and gravy and those stuffings and things like that that just fill you up so nicely. Macaroni and cheese is one of those, a comfort food. I have a scripture I want to share with you this morning. It's from 1 Peter chapter 5, and it says this. It's chapter 5, verse 7. "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." Now, when we think of this idea of comfort, comfort is something that makes us, we feel good, we feel comfortable, okay? And obviously there's a lot going on right now that sometimes we're not all that comfortable with being stuck at home or being safe at home, depending on how you look at it. Maybe not seeing your friends as much as you would like, or seeing your families, extended families, as much as you like. We're not always comfortable right now. But the scripture says, give all of your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. God will make you comfortable. God will make you take away those cares and worries, and God will give you those thoughts and those reassurances that no matter what here, he's with you and he will take care of you. So just remember that as you start thinking about what you're not getting right now with friends and family and so on, that those associations, those relationships that you really miss, that God is there. He'll comfort you. God is always with you no matter what you're going through. Let's say a prayer together. God, we thank you that you are the one who cares for us. And I pray that you would care for these children, bless them, strengthen them, and let them find their peace and their comfort in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Barna Group was founded by a guy by the name of George Barna about 30 years ago, and it's become the go-to source for insights about faith and culture in America. And several years ago, the Barna Group did a poll which asked this question. If you could ask God only one question and you knew he would give you an answer, what would you ask? And the most common response was, why is there pain and suffering in the world? The late Anglican preacher and author John Stott wrote these words. He says, the fact of suffering undoubtedly constitutes the single greatest challenge to the Christian faith and has been in every generation. Its distribution and degree appear to be entirely random and therefore unfair. Sensitive spirits ask if it can possibly be reconciled with God's justice and love. And Randy Alcorn, in his book, If God is Good, observes that you will not get far in a conversation with someone who rejects the Christian faith before the problem of evil and suffering is raised. Like the ultimate trump card, it's supposed to silence believers and prove that the all-good and all-powerful God of the Bible doesn't exist. When I pull up to a traffic light, I find myself behind a car that's covered with bumper stickers. It's kind of hard to avoid not reading some of those bumper stickers. They tell you a lot about the person in the car in front of you, sometimes maybe more than you really want to know. Well, one I've seen on occasion expresses a cultural take on this issue of suffering. My parents trained me well, and I confess I have trouble saying in church what the sticker actually says, so I'll give you the King James English version of that bumper sticker. It goes something like this. Dung happens. Well, this bumper sticker summarizes a cultural take that sees suffering as pointless, repugnant, and disgusting. It's often random and senseless, unpredictable and unavoidable, with no redeeming value. Now, I think we all have different understandings of what suffering actually is. To a great extent, it is something we can only relate to through our own personal life experiences. For some, suffering is extreme, something that has led to physical or mental disabilities and even death. For others, suffering has been only an inconvenience. And as we live through these days of coronavirus, we know about business shutdowns and social distancing and major adjustments to our way of life, we see drastically different takes on suffering. We see, and maybe we know firsthand, the suffering of those who have been hospitalized for weeks on ventilators. More recently, we're seeing the way the virus is affecting some younger children. And of course, we've seen the suffering of families whose loved ones have passed. And there are those whose businesses have been shut down, those who've lost jobs because of workplaces being closed, and those lines of cars at food banks. As a grandparent, there's a level of suffering in not being able to hug my grandchildren. There are those as well who would see a level of suffering in not being able to go to their favorite restaurant. The point is that our understanding of what is suffering is greatly related to our personal experience. And for us as believers, fortunately, the Bible has a lot to say about this issue of suffering. And we can read the experiences of people as well as God's take on human suffering. So let's take a look. Take the prophet Jeremiah, for example. He's sometimes been called the crying prophet. His life wasn't easy. He was given a difficult job to do when God sent him to deliver a message to people that didn't want to hear what he had to say. Crazy old Jeremiah, the prophet of doom, they called him. And when it looked like his predictions of disaster at the hands of Babylon were certain and imminent, people blamed him. In Jeremiah chapter 15, the prophet says that at first God's words seemed to bring him joy and delight, but then they led to loneliness and pain that seemed beyond healing. So then he blamed God for his situation. He accused God of deceiving him and asked God to punish his persecutors. God responded, urging Jeremiah to hang in there, to not turn away, and to hold fast to the words that God had given him. God understood that what he had asked of Jeremiah was not easy, that there would be enemies for the one who brought a message the hostile world didn't want to hear. So God assured Jeremiah that he was there sharing in Jeremiah's suffering and would never leave him. And in spite of what he was going through, God would not allow his enemies to defeat him. God would deliver him from whatever dangers might come. In Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul offers a different take on suffering when he tells us that suffering is the way to glory. He says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection of the dead. As followers of Jesus, we're called to view suffering not as something that is senseless, but rather as something of value. We're encouraged to see God not as the cause of suffering, but as the one who causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. As God assured Jeremiah that he was with him, so God is with us. I think it's helpful for us to understand there are different reasons for the suffering that might come into our lives. For example, there is the suffering that comes because of our mortality. Sometimes, something we sometimes don't want to admit is that we have perishable bodies susceptible to illness, physical and mental infirmities, and of course, death. That's something that is abundantly clear in these times in which we are living. In Romans 8, Paul reminds us, for all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us the new bodies he has promised us. Well, there's also suffering that is a consequence of sin. In Proverbs 1, 29 through 31, we read these words, for they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. There are consequences for sin, for lying, for cheating, for hatred. Along with sin comes the bitter fruit of living our own way. Well, sometimes we also experience suffering or what the Bible calls chastening or discipline at the hand of a loving God in order to correct us and bring us back into obedience to Christ. Proverbs 3:11 and 12 says, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset that he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. 1 Peter 1 through 6 through 7, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Christ is revealed to the whole world. Another kind of suffering that we might not think about, maybe as often as we probably should, is the eternal suffering of those who reject Christ. Jesus warned in Mark 9, 43-48, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. And of course, in Revelation 20, 11 through 15, John the Revelator writes of the great white throne and the one sitting on it. And he says that anyone whose name is not found recorded in the book of life is thrown into the lake of fire. Well, one final I'll mention is voluntary suffering we experience when we accept God's call to follow Jesus and live as he taught us. This is suffering that we choose, suffering we knowingly endure for righteousness' sake. This is the suffering that Peter was talking about in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. It's where he says, it's no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. You see, following Jesus can take us on the way of suffering. When we follow Jesus in the way of love, we have to realize that it also can be a way of thorns, a way of pain, a way of suffering. Yet, as Peter says, it's also a privilege. It's important for us to realize not just that we are God's beloved, not just that God wants us to flourish and thrive, not just where, how, and to whom we're called, but that this calling to follow Jesus can have some potentially difficult consequences. We may indeed suffer pain, alienation, loss of relationships, even death for following Jesus. The experiences of persecution of our brethren, forefathers, and mothers, and more recently the suffering our brothers and sisters in Nigeria and other persecuted believers around the world speak to this reality. Well, in those words from 1 Peter, the apostle gives us some advice on living the way of suffering as a follower of Jesus. First, he says, don't be surprised if suffering comes into our lives because we've chosen to follow Jesus. Dear friends, he says, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. You see, suffering for the name should not take us by surprise. If it does, maybe we haven't been into the Word as much as we should be, because if you remember the story of Job, who suffered greatly, and how virtually all of the Old Testament prophets suffered as well. And Jesus told his disciples they would suffer because of him. And of course, Jesus himself suffered. The book of Acts tells us what the apostles and many of those first Christian believers experienced because they chose to follow Jesus. And both Peter and Paul taught that as followers of Jesus, we should expect suffering. Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. So Peter says we should be prepared for the way of suffering. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For when you've suffered physically for Christ, you've finished with sin. We certainly should be aware that there are Christian brothers and sisters suffering for the faith today. I mentioned how the violence continues in Nigeria. But if you visit websites of groups such as like Voice of the Martyrs, you'll find stories of brothers and sisters in Christ who are both figuratively and literally giving their lives because of their faith. Like the story of Zhang Wenxi, also known by his Korean name and title as Deacon Zhang. Zhang Wenxi is an ethnically Korean Chinese citizen who lived in Changbai, China, a town on the border between China and North Korea. He ministered there to North Koreans who crossed the border over into Changbai. Deacon Zhang regularly hosted these visiting Koreans for days and weeks at a time before they returned to North Korea, giving them warm clothing and feeding them and providing supplies that they could take back to North Korea. He saw this as his Christian duty to welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, and care for the sick. As a believer, he also shared about his faith to those who were willing to listen. A number of these North Koreans accepted his message and became believers. In November 2014, Deacon Zhang was kidnapped from China and put in a North Korean prison, where he was sentenced to 15 years for his ministry to those North Korean people. Mark Lapperton, in his book called The Crisis and Promise of Following Jesus Today, writes these words. He says, "We who have known safety, health, and full stomachs have little or no problem thinking about the potential goodness of God's call. But when suffering comes into the picture, not least suffering that may come because we are following God's will and purpose, we are suddenly chilled." While we here don't find ourselves in such dire situations as some of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, it should be obvious that the culture around us is at best tolerant and sometimes actually derisive of followers of Jesus. If our call is to live the love of Jesus for the sake of the world, we need to understand that this call can include following Jesus on the way of suffering. To believe that we can follow Jesus and not suffer as he did is unrealistic. And while suffering is not the goal of following Jesus, it can be a consequence. Don't be surprised by suffering for the name. It's going to happen, Peter says. Well, the second thing Peter says is, don't be scared of suffering. In fact, he has the audacity to use the word rejoice in relation to suffering. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. I think what Peter is telling us is that we have no right to expect better treatment from this world than Jesus received. And C.S. Lewis once asked, "Why do the righteous suffer?" And he answered his own question, "Why not? They are the only ones who can take it." I think one of the reasons we fear suffering is that it causes pain, both physical and emotional, and we don't like pain. As believers, we know that God allows evil to exist. Again, see Job. But we also believe that God is in absolute control and will not abandon us when we suffer for the name. Scripture tells us that the suffering of God's children has a purpose. Peter says, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. While we might not look forward to suffering as a follower of Jesus, we don't have to be scared of it either. In the midst of it, God is there, giving us the strength to endure and the assurance of his presence. Well, third, Peter tells us, if we're going to suffer, we should suffer for the right reasons. He said, if you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. As followers of Jesus, we're called to live holy lives, lives which show the world the way of Jesus. And when we experience suffering because of sin, our lives no longer honor Christ. Be careful to make good choices to avoid sin and its consequences. People should be able to tell by our response to suffering that we are a follower of Jesus. As Paul put it, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. And then fourth, Peter tells us there is blessing in suffering for the way of Jesus. He says, so if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. You see, some Christians think that suffering is never God's will for followers of Jesus, that we just go from one mountaintop to another, that one blessing will follow another, that prosperity and riches will be ours. But that's not what the Bible says. Rejoice in our sufferings, Paul says, that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that's to be revealed, that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them. And Peter says, the God of all grace who called you to this eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And James, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Some of you will know comedian Stephen Colbert is the host of The Late Show on CBS. The New York Times ran a story of an interview with Colbert regarding his faith. This is what he shared. In 1974, when he was 10, his father, a doctor, and his brothers, Peter and Paul, the two closest to him in age, died in a plane crash. And Colbert says, I'm not bitter about what happened to me as a child, and my mother was instrumental in keeping me from being so. She taught me to be grateful for my life regardless of what it entailed. And that's directly related to the image of Christ on the cross and the example of sacrifice that he gave us. What she taught me is that the deliverance of God offers you from pain is not no pain. It's that pain is actually a gift. Pain is actually a gift. You know, the insurance industry uses an unfortunate phrase to describe natural disasters. They call them acts of God. The reality is that human suffering is inescapable. And whether it be suffering brought on by our mortality, suffering we experience because of sin, suffering we experience as God's correction, suffering for the name, or suffering brought on by so-called acts of God. In the midst of suffering, we do have a choice. We can become consumed with wanting it to pass. We become despondent or overwhelmed by it. We can choose to open up and allow it to change us in positive ways. And maybe the change brought on by suffering, change that's a result of Jesus working in us through the suffering, is one of the greatest gifts of God. The world says there's no value in suffering. Yet as believers, we see Christ on the cross. We see a God who suffered, not so that we wouldn't have to suffer, but that we can go to our God and Savior, knowing he shares our experience and knows all about what we're going through. I can't tell you that following Jesus means everything is going to be good and right in your life. I can't tell you that if you just say yes to Jesus, you'll never suffer pain, anguish, or disappointment again. But I can tell you that when you suffer in Christ Jesus, you have a Savior who knows what you're going through, especially when you suffer for following in his steps. I can tell you, both from the promise of Scripture and from personal experience, that the God who created you will never fail you. We are living in some difficult times. Some we know have suffered through illness with COVID-19. Many of us have loved ones in nursing homes we can't visit because of the pandemic. Some of us are unemployed because of business shutdowns because of this virus. These are difficult times, and many are suffering. A suffering brought on by something over which we've had no control, a microscopic virus. We cannot deny the difficulty and suffering of these days in which we live. And yet, as persons of faith, we know that Jesus knew suffering himself, and he knows what we're going through. Don't be surprised. Don't be scared. Look for God's blessings in the midst of the suffering of these days, trusting that the God who created you will never fail you. A pastor friend has come up with a new meaning for the acronym COVID, C-O-V-I-D. This is what he says. COVID means Christ, our victory in distress. Christ, our victory in distress. May it be so. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, these are difficult days. We all are suffering in some degree during these days, yet we know that you suffered also. We know that you endured greater physical and emotional pain than most of us will ever experience. And yet you overcame, and you live that we also might live. We pray especially for those who are suffering greatly in these days through illness, loss of loved ones, and loss of income. May we who have not suffered in such a way be a blessing to these whom you so dearly love. May your love shine through us. Whatever our level of suffering in these days, either great or small, remind us that you are with us. You understand our plight. You know suffering, and you will never fail us. No matter what we experience in this life, it is in you that we will find comfort, hope, and joy. Indeed, you, Christ, are our victory in distress. Amen.